Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We're up to Book 14, Chapter 13. At midday on the 22nd of October, Pierre was going uphill along the muddy, slippery road, looking at his feet and at the roughness of the way. Occasionally he glanced at the familiar crowd around him and then again at his feet. The former and the latter were alike familiar and his own. The blue-grey bandy-legged dog ran merrily along the side of the road, sometimes in proof of its agility and self-satisfaction, lifting one hind leg and hopping along on three, and then again going on all four and rushing to bark at the crows that sat on the carrion. The dog was merrier and sleeker than it had been in Moscow. All around lay the flesh of different animals, from men to horses in various stages of decomposition, and as the wolves were kept off by the passing men, the dog could eat all it wanted. It had been raining since morning, and had seemed as if at any moment it might cease and the sky clear. But after a short break it began raining again harder than before. The saturated road no longer absorbed the water, which ran along the ruts in streams. Pierre walked along, looking from side to side, counting his steps in threes and reckoning them off on his fingers. Mentally addressing the rain, he repeated, Now then, go on, pelt harder. It seemed to him that he was thinking of nothing, but far down and deep within him, his soul was occupied with something important and comforting. The something was the most subtle spiritual deduction from a conversation with Karatayev the day before. At their yesterday's halting place, feeling chilly by a dying campfire, Pierre had got up and gone to the next one, which was burning better. There Platon Karatayev was sitting, covered up, head and all, with his great coat as if it were a vestment, telling the soldiers, in his effective and pleasant, though now feeble voice, a story Pierre knew. It was already past midnight, the hour when Karatayev was usually free of his fever and particularly lively. When Pierre reached the fire and heard Platon's voice enfeebled by illness and saw his pathetic face brightly lit up by the blaze, he felt a painful prick at his heart. His feeling of pity for this man frightened him, and he wished to go away. But there was no other fire, and Pierre sat down, trying not to look at Platon. "Well, how are you?" he asked. "How am I? If we grumble at sickness, God won't grant us death," replied Platon, and at once resumed the story he had begun. "And so, brother," he continued, with a smile on his pale, emaciated face, and a particularly happy light in his eyes, "you see, brother." Pierre had long been familiar with that story. Karatayev had told it to him alone some half-dozen times, and was always with a specially joyful emotion. But, well, as he knew it, Pierre now listened to that tale as to something new, and the quiet rapture Karatayev evidently felt as he told it communicated itself also to Pierre. The story was of an old merchant who lived a good and God-fearing life with his family, and who went once to the Nizhny fair with a companion, a rich merchant. Having put up at an inn, they both went to sleep, and next morning his companion was found robbed and with his throat cut. A blood-stained knife was found under the old merchant's pillow. He was tried, knouted, and his nostrils having been torn off, all in due order, as Karatayev put it, he was sent to hard labour in Siberia. "And so, brother," it was at this point that Pierre came up. 10 years or more passed by. The old man was living as a convict, submitting as he should, and doing no wrong. Only he prayed to God for death. Well, one night the convicts were gathered, just as we are, with the old man among them, and they began telling what each was suffering for, and how they had sinned against God. One told how he had taken a life, another had taken two, A third had set a house on fire, while another had simply been a vagrant and had done nothing. So they asked the old man, "What are you being punished for, Daddy?" "I, my dear brothers," he said, "am being punished for my own and other men's sins. But I have not killed anyone or taken anything that was not mine, but have only helped my poorer brothers. I was a merchant, my dear brothers, and had much property." And he went on to tell them all about it in due order. "I don't grieve for myself," he says. "God, it seems, has chastened me. Only I am sorry for my old wife and the children." And the old man began to weep. Now it happened that among the group was the very man who had killed the other merchant. "Where did it happen, Daddy?" he said. "When and in what month?" He asked all about it, and his heart began to ache. So he comes up to the old man like this and falls down at his feet. "You are perishing because of me, Daddy," he says. "It is quite true, lads, that this man," he says, "is being tortured innocently and for nothing. I," he says, "did that deed, and I put the knife under your head while you were asleep. Forgive me, Daddy," he says, "for Christ's sake." Karatayev paused, smiling joyously as he gazed into the fire, and he drew the logs together. And the old man said, "God will forgive you. We are all sinners in his sight. I suffer for my own sins." And he wept bitter tears. "Well, and what do you think, dear friends?" Karatayev continued, his face brightened more and more, with a rapturous smile, as if what he now had to tell contained the chief charm and the whole meaning of his story. "What do you think, dear fellow? That murderer confessed to the authorities. I have taken 6 lives," he says. "He was a great sinner. But what I am most sorry for is this old man. Don't let him suffer because of me." So he confessed, and it was all written down and the papers sent off in due order. The place was a long way off, and while they were judging with one thing and another, filling in the papers all in due order, the authorities, I mean, time passed. The affair reached the Tsar. After a while, the Tsar's decree came to set the merchant free and give him a compensation that he had been awarded. The paper arrived, and they began to look for the old man. "Where is the old man who has been suffering innocently and in vain? A paper has come from the Tsar." So they began looking for him. Here Karatayev lowered his lower jaw, trembled. But God had already forgiven him. He was dead. "That's how it was, dear fellow," Karatayev concluded, and sat for a long time silent, gazing before him with a smile. And Pierre's soul was dimly but joyfully filled, not by the story itself, but by its mysterious significance, by the rapturous joy that lit up Karatayev's face as he told it, and the mystic significance of that joy. All right, there we go, another chapter down. We're back in Pierre's shoes, nice place to be. And, well, that start of that chapter was pretty grim, wasn't it? With the dog picking at the carrion, as it was described, which is dead, decomposing flesh. But the crows were eating, and I would assume like vultures and scavengers and that kind of stuff. And that's what dogs are really, isn't it? They're scavengers. So there's nothing out of the ordinary. But there was human flesh and horse flesh lying around in the streets, and the dogs were just eating away at it happily. That was really quite graphic, and like I said, it was grim, wasn't it? And then the rest of this chapter was Karatayev feeling very sick, very ill, telling a story that he's told a dozen times already. But now Pierre is listening to it with a new perspective, I suppose. He's heard it a dozen times, but now he seems to be hearing it as if for the first time. Brian E. Denton had some interesting things to say about this on the A Year of War and Peace Medium page. Brian E. Denton, have a look at that if you haven't already. But he mentions that this story that Karatayev tells was actually one of Tolstoy's favourite stories, and that Tolstoy published it later after fully fleshing it out under the title, God Sees the Truth But Waits. And he considered it to be one of the few stories he ever wrote that satisfied his high artistic standards. God Sees the Truth But Waits. Now, you can read the full short story online, which is something we could probably do on this podcast if anyone's interested in a bit of a bonus episode. It would probably be about a 10-minute read, maybe a 15-minute read by my estimation of having a quick little scan of it. So, if anyone's interested to read the full short story, God Sees the Truth But Waits, drop me a comment or let me know through Reddit, and I'd be happy to read it to you guys. But what's the story all about? It is a story about forgiveness and God's judgment, I think. And it's also kind of like one of those bitter irony type stories, I think, where he suffers because of someone else's crime, then finally he is, what's the word? There's a word when it's revealed that you're innocent, there's a word for that which escapes me at the moment. Finally, that happens, but then he's dead. Too late. It's like meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife, or an old man turns 98 and wins the lottery and dies the next day. That type thing. Yeah. Was it a good story? That little short story? I didn't love it, to be honest. It seems a bit kind of one of those preachy, one of those stories where it's like the narrator at the end, like if they were to tack on one last little line, it would be like, yeah, so now who's the asshole? You are, reader. Kind of thing. Like, it makes you feel bad for reading it. Anyway. What am I saying? I'm ranting and raving. Sometimes I do that. Anyway, let's move on from this chapter, eh? Story within a story chapter, because I'm a bit ill-focused tonight. I'm not very focused. I think I might just be extremely tired, and I feel like I'm not making a whole lot of sense, so I'll let you guys off the hook. I will see you tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening. Bye for now.